Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
This is The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. It was 2:13 p.m. on a Saturday when the 8th Saturn V rocket lifted off from Cape Kennedy and rode a thunderous pillar of flame skywards. In Australia, it was 5:13 a.m. Sunday morning, April 12. Few Australians were awake to pay any attention to the fifth mission to the moon. Ahead of Apollo 13, Apollo 8 and 10 had orbited the moon, and Apollo 11 and 12 had landed. Astronauts Jim Lovell and Fred Hayes fully expected to be the fifth and sixth men to walk on the moon. Jack Swigert was to orbit the moon, making scientific observations. In New Zealand, where I was avidly listening to the Voice of America, it was 7:13 a.m. I had been up for several hours following the countdown. The reels of my tape recorder were slowly spinning and dragging magnetized tape across the recording heads. In succession, I recorded the countdown, the liftoff, the drama-filled ascent to orbit, the Earth orbits, and the Saturn IV firing to leave Earth orbit and blast out to escape trajectory towards the moon. Sunday night, while I slept, the astronauts beamed back their first television show. Monday was a work day, so I had limited opportunities to record the progress of the mission. I did tape reports of the crew activities and that the crew were one-third of the way to the moon. Tuesday morning, before heading off to work, I managed to record a report that Apollo 13 was halfway to the moon. The Voice of America also said that the crew were going to check out the lunar module Aquarius and they would give another television show. Following this, the crew would begin a 10-hour sleep period. Unknown to me, at work, this happened 3:07 Tuesday afternoon.
Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we've had a problem. We've had a main beam undervolt.
Roger, main beam undervolt. Okay, stand by, 13. We're looking at it.
Okay, right now, Houston, the voltage is... It's looking good, and we had a pretty large bang associated with the caution and warning there, and as I recall, BB was the one that had a amp spike on it once before.
Roger, Fred.
And the interim air, we're starting to go ahead and button up the tunnel again.
Roger.
Yeah, that jolt must have rocked the sensor on see now in O2 quantity 2, it's was oscillating down around 20% to 60%. Now it's full scale high again.
Roger.
And Houston, we had a restart on our computer. We have pink light and the restart reset.
Roger, restart and a pink light. Restart and a pink
okay.
Reset.
And we're looking at our surface module RCS helium-1. We have B is bubble pole, and D is bubble pole. Helium-2, B is bubble pole, and secondary propellant. So I have A and C bubble pole. T-MAC temperatures. Okay, AC-2 is showing tip. I'm trying to reconfigure on that, Jack.
Roger.
Yeah, we got a main bay undervolt now too, Sean.
Main bay undervolt.
It's reading about 25 and a half. Main bay's reading zip right now.
Stand by one, Jim. 13 Houston, we'd like you to attempt to reconnect fuel cell 1 to main A and fuel cell 3 to main B. Verify that quad delta is open.
Okay, Houston, I'm showing, I tried to reset and fuel cell 1 and 3 are both showing gray flags, but they're both showing zip on the flows.
We copy. 13 Houston, we'd like you to open circuit fuel cell 1. Leave 2 and 3 as is.
Okay, I'll get to work on that.
Can I listen to you looking out the hatch? So we are venting something. We are venting something out into space.
Roger, we copy your venting.
It's a gas of some sort.
That was the original Capcoms immediately following the explosion and the beginning of the troubleshooting. It was 55 hours and 54 minutes into the mission. Oblivious to this, I arrived home just before 6 p.m. and switched on the Voice of America. What I heard stunned me. I quickly started the tape recorder just 2 hours 50 minutes after the explosion. This is what I heard coming crackling over the shortwave radio.
17 minutes from now, scheduled to begin in Houston, at which time we will have the authorities of the space program itself giving us their evaluation of this very serious problem. To bring you up to date, what has happened is this. An emergency has developed out in space. This is more than 200,000 miles away from the moon, only a little over 24 hours away from the scheduled Earth, or rather lunar orbit insertion. And then the landing on the moon that had been scheduled Wednesday has been canceled. What the men are trying to do now is come home by a route never before tested. And what they were going to have to do is to rely on the descent engine designed for a landing on the moon. And they're going to have to rely on this engine to bring them back to Earth. And of course, the moon itself will provide some of the power to get the three men back to Earth as they swing around back of the moon. Fire up that descent stage of the lunar lander, which is not designed for this. They're going to have to try to work it that way. This is the only way they can get back to Earth safely. And the lunar module's engines, built for a descent to the moon, is going to have to bring the men back to Earth. Astronauts James Lovell, Fred Hayes, and Jack Swigert, now on their way home to Mother Earth by way of the moon. Expected time of arrival, hopefully and prayerfully, early Friday afternoon. Sandy.
Well, just to recap and tell our stations along the way what's going on with us here tonight.
This is Apollo Control. 58 hours, 46 minutes ground elapsed time. Level 1A is still powering up the lunar module, getting attitude control, aligning the platform. In preparation for what turns out to be an alternate mission in which no lunar landing will be possible. However, the spacecraft will fly around the moon. At this point in Trans-Lunar Coast, it is more economical and propellant and time to continue to coast on around the moon and come back to Earth intersecting trajectory.
So that was recorded less than 3 hours after the explosion. Now, rather than bring you the rest of the three-day struggle to return the trio of astronauts home, as I recorded it off shortwave radio, I thought we would bring to your attention the tale as told in song and poetry. Now, if you saw Ron Howard's movie Apollo 13, you may remember this. Spoken by Ed Harris, who played flight controller Gene Kranz.
You can only give our guys 45 hours? That brings them to about there. Gentlemen, that's not acceptable. I want this mark all the way back to Earth with time to spare. We never lost an American in space. We're sure as hell not going to lose one on my watch. Failure is not an option.
Now, the dialogue was written by Al Reinert and William Broyles. Now, in fact, Gene Kranz never said this. However, When he heard it in the movie, he liked it so much he adopted it as his own.
From Sandringham to South Yarra, you're listening to Southern FM.
Where this is the space show, and we're looking back 50 years and the, well, successful failure, or failure success, whichever you want to call it, the absolutely amazing story of Apollo 13. Well, Apollo 13 made it back to Earth. The mission lasted 1 hour short of 6 days. Jack Swigert was later elected to Congress, but died of cancer before he could be sworn in. That was in December of 1982. Jim Lovell and Fred Hayes are still alive. Now, next week's The Space Show, we will have part two of our musical tribute to Apollo 13.